This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Six hostages were killed in cold blood after having been held for almost a year. Who killed them? That's what we want to talk about here today on Viewpoint, with a very honest conversation that not only goes to the issue of the hostages in Israel, but goes also to the political issues in the United States of America, even as we approach the 2024 presidential election. You say, how could that possibly be? Well, you'll understand by the time we're through with our conversation here today on Viewpoint. We say that viewpoint determines destiny, and indeed it does. Some say, in fact, CNN, liberal CNN here based in the United States, says that Netanyahu torpedoed the Palestinian peace talks, that it was Benjamin Netanyahu's insistence on maintaining an Israeli military presence in Gaza that would undermine ongoing peace talks and jeopardize the release of hostages. But is that really what happened? Is that really an honest evaluation? Well, that's a viewpoint coming from a hyper-liberal viewpoint, CNN. CNN represents, shall we say, the folk also in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is a hyper-liberal city. It's like any modern hyper-liberal city. It's not like Jerusalem. It's like San Francisco. Tel Aviv is the San Francisco of Israel. So what would you expect the people in Tel Aviv to do if their mind and their heart set is like those in San Francisco, the general populace in San Francisco, or the general populace in any other hyper-liberal American city? You see, their viewpoints are going to declare, they're going to come directly from their heart. Because out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at both sides of this issue because it's extremely important. It's not only extremely important for Israel, it's extremely important for you and for me, for the future of America, and indeed the world. And so here we are today on Viewpoint, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home, and yes, indeed, Israel's heart and home as well. I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Benjamin Netanyahu said we should not withdraw from the Philadelphia corridor after Hamas murdered six hostages. Others say, how can you dare to continue to stand for protecting the Philadelphia corridor when six of our people were murdered? Well, why were they murdered? And who murdered them? Well, Israel National News communicated this today. Hamas spokesman makes first admission that terror group murdered six hostages last week, and says instructions for how terrorists deal with hostages will change when the IDF approaches their positions. In other words, if Israel continues to try to secure its border and to protect itself and the Israeli people from future terrorist attacks by Hamas, such as they initiated on October 7th, then somehow that means that Israel's at fault for those hostages losing their lives. And now Hamas says, look, if Israel continues and gets anywhere near close where we're hiding the hostages, we're just going to kill them. So what's the purpose of the hostages? Is there any interest that Hamas has in those hostages? And if so, what is that interest? Who is really securing the future of Israel? Who is actually seeking to secure the future of Israel as a country and the people of Israel, the 6.5 million Jews plus the 2 million Arabs and others there in Israel, or actually, I guess it's close to 7 million Jews. who's actually seeking to protect them? Those who submit to Hamas and their demands so as to release an ever fewer number of hostages that they have not already killed? It seems that they've already dispensed with about half of the hostages. Six more just last week. Who's to say they won't dispense with the rest of them? Isn't this very much similar, if not identical, to a kidnapper who kidnaps a child and then demands a $5 million payment in order to get the child back? How many children have been regained by their parents or whoever it was that had the responsibility for the child after they attempted to make the payment, the demand, the ransom payment? Very few. Why is that? Because the interest of those of the kidnapper was not in the child, but only to use the child to gain power, perks, or position, money. And so the interest in the child did not exist except for the purpose of a nefarious agenda. The same is true with Hamas. They have no care for those children or for those people. None whatsoever. If they did, why would they in cold blood execute, which is what they did, execute six more hostages last week? They had no need to do that, but they did. And why did they do it? They did it to secure something. And what was that? To secure the capitulation of Israel as a nation to their terrorist agenda for destroying Israel and allowing Hamas to continue their nefarious agenda without resistance. Now, all that having been said, we take a look at the other side of the issue. The other side of the issue. And so we have, oh, there's so many of these articles here. Please be patient with me here. Here we go. Tel Aviv becomes the center of nationwide protests demanding immediate hostage deal. Hundreds of thousands gathered in Tel Aviv yesterday and the day before in mass protests demanding an immediate hostage deal before more hostages are killed by Hamas. Why do these people think that Hamas will not kill more hostages? They have no reasonable belief to conclude that, because Hamas will do what it wants to do. They have their reasons. And their reasons are not the same as the friends and the relatives and so on of the hostages that are still living. Protesters block the entrance to Jerusalem Sunday evening as others march through the streets of Tel Aviv carrying coffins, protesting the abandonment of the hostages after the Israeli Defense Force confirmed that the bodies of the six hostages have been retrieved from Gaza. Who's right? Who really killed the hostages? And who would kill the rest of them? And for what reason? Where does truth lie? That's what we're going to talk about for the balance of the program on Viewpoint. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
On Sunday, Benjamin Netanyahu stated that Israel is in intense negotiations for the hostages, but Hamas refuses. On the contrary, the defense minister, Gallant, who is quite liberal in his politics, warned that Israel's insistence on remaining in the Philadelphia corridor could endanger hostages' lives. Well, is that true? And where does the balance lie in terms of what government should do in its primary responsibility to protect the nation of Israel, the people of Israel as a whole, not just individual people, but the nation as a whole? When you're at war, which is what's happening here, Hamas declared war on Israel on October 7th. There already was a ceasefire in position, but Hamas intelligently and intentionally broke the ceasefire in order to wreak havoc and pressure upon Israel and Israel's government. Why? So that Israel would capitulate to Hamas's desire and lay the increasing foundation for the destruction of the state of Israel and the Jewish people, which is the Hamas's declared purpose in their founding documents. But apparently for those who are moved primarily by their feelings, those founding documents are irrelevant. The actual intentions and declared intentions of Hamas are irrelevant. The only thing that matters is my current feelings today about a few people that are referred to as hostages, when in fact nearly half of them have already met their demise in one way or another. The negotiations have continued, but Netanyahu says Hamas refuses. Over what is Hamas refusing? Well, Hamas wants to retain its power, perks, and position, and that has everything to do with what is called the Philadelphia Corridor. We'll talk more about the details of that later on in the program today. But I want to give you a comparison. Please listen very carefully from your heart. I want to shift the focus here from Israel and Hamas to a new global order that the Western world is seeking to put in place, led, by the way, by Mr. Biden, Kamala Harris, the Democrat Party. They are all intent on establishing a one-world global order and a great reset, as declared by Klaus Schwab there, the head of the World Economic Forum, and as declared by nothing less than a former presidential candidate, Democrat, John Kerry, who declared upon the inauguration of Joe Biden that now, with the inauguration of Joe Biden, we can move forward with a one-world order, a one-world government, and the Great Reset, because he's the anointed one to make that happen. That was John Kerry, a Democrat, one who was up to his eyeballs with the World Economic Forum, and also is pushing and has been pushing the agenda of climate change in order to achieve the one world government. Now, I lay that foundation for this purpose. Please listen carefully. The one world government and those who support it despise the God of creation. In fact, the whole concept of a one world government is like shaking your fist in the face of the God of creation, who said, "I don't want the people to unite. I want the people to remain in their nations to which I have designated them. I do not want them to unite and try to save themselves in a spirit of pride, just as the people at the Tower of Babel did. I don't want that. I'm against that." But now, after many years, decades, millennia, the peoples of the planet believe that they are right on the cusp of being able to rebuild the Tower of Babel in all of its complexity and all of its completeness in order to save ourselves. And in order to do that, they have to come against God-fearing people. God-fearing people are anathema to globalists. Anathema. That being the case, Here's the scenario. As globalism begins to take its form and move inexorably toward a one-world government that the prophet Daniel foretold, that is implied in Revelation chapter 13 with the mark of the beast and the Antichrist, there is going to be a remnant of people who will not capitulate to the pressure of the godless government of a one-world order. And anyone who continues to, say, stand strong in their faith is going to have a target on their back, a serious target on their back, because such a person is deemed to be, well, not worthy to live. Because you're standing against that which the rest of humanity is deeming to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. We're going to rule the world. We're going to be our own saviors. And you're standing in the gap. You're standing in the way, and we're not going to allow it. So here's the question. That being the case, it is going to precipitate the great persecution that Jesus foretold. It's going to precipitate the great persecution that the Apostle Peter talked about, the Apostle John talked about, the Apostle Paul talked about, the Apostle James talked about. Question. That being the case, what compromises do you want to make with the Hamas, that is, i.e., the global order that is intent to destroy all Christians? What compromise do you want to make? What negotiations do you want to make? Are you willing to sacrifice your eternal destiny or the rest of the people of God in order to save 10 people from execution by the global government? How about 100 people? How about 1,000 people? Where are you going to draw the line? Where is your principle? Or are you going to stand only on pragmatism or feelings? Who in the world wants to have their loved ones or anyone else that they care about, including anybody in the body of Christ who's a true follower of Jesus Christ, who in their right mind would not have feelings that would say, you know what, it's almost unbearable for me to think about not intervening to prevent their execution? But what is it going to take to intervene? It's going to take that you are willing to sacrifice yourself, other people, maybe a whole group of people, in order to try to compromise to make nice with the globalistic Hamas, so to speak. Are you beginning to get the point? That's the dilemma that Benjamin Netanyahu is in. How do you make nice with Hamas in order to gain the remnant or residue of those hostages when, in fact, you know that it's not going to end there? You know that their real goal is to destroy Israel itself. Everybody. To take away, completely destroy the very nation of Israel and all the Jewish people, which they have declared in their documents. Which Iran, which is the facilitator of Hamas, has declared. Which Iran, which is the facilitator of Hezbollah, has declared. Are you beginning at least to begin to get a picture of what this really looks like? So what we're seeing playing out there in Israel with the struggle of Israel's government, particularly Benjamin Netanyahu, who is at the head of it, he's having to stand when massive numbers of Jewish people who are led primarily by their feelings for a few to govern decisions for the many. He says, I can't do this. I cannot yield when I know what Hamas will do. I cannot yield. I want desperately to get these hostages back, but I'm not willing to sacrifice the nation of Israel and the people of Israel in the long run for a short-term compromise that I know isn't going to ultimately do any good. Now, I want you to think about this in terms of the issue of persecution. That's exactly the kind of decision that pastors, church leaders, political leaders, and you are going to face in the not-too-distant future. That's exactly the decision you're going to face. Are you going to be willing to stand in the evil day, or are you going to compromise your faith or even other people and tattletale upon other believers in order to gain favor for a short period of time with the government to preserve your life or the life of a family member or whatever? Friends, would you like to know what tribulation looks like? That's what it looks like. The word tribulation comes from the word pressure. Pressure. Hamas is putting pressure on Israel and on Benjamin Netanyahu to do what he should not do in order to capitulate to the feelings of a large number of people for political purposes. And to protect his reputation among the Western leaders in the world who themselves have abandoned the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have abandoned the God who made and preserved us all as human beings, and are shaking their fists collectively and increasingly in the pursuit of a new global order, which God has prohibited. They are coming down on the head of Benjamin Netanyahu as well. Put yourself in that position, friends, because you will be in that position soon. As the pressure builds and the new global order begins to take its form, when you are required to take that infamous mark that Bill Gates has already put into, he's already secured, I believe, a patent for it. Back in, he applied for it in March of the year 2020. When you are required, or any of your relatives are required to take that mark in order to protect yourself from some immediate assault, whether it be financial or some other assault, either way, it's going to be a matter of what you perceive to be life or death. If you can't eat, you don't live. You can't function. If you can't work, you don't have money. If you don't have the mark, you can't do any of those things. And you can't get medical treatment. That's how it's being framed. So, are you prepared to stand? Don't think I'm stretching this too far, because that's exactly the position that both Jesus and the apostles all portrayed, leading to the infamous mark. That's why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. If you don't have the book, it's on our website, saveus.org, $25, I'll put it in your hands. Get it, prepare.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Christmeyer. Some listening today may say, well, you know what? My pastor tells me that we're going to be out of here. We're not going to have to go through any tough times. Really? No tough times. Really? How about those, a dozen Christians there on the shores of the Mediterranean, Libyan Christians that had their heads chopped off? Was it by ISIS? For public consumption right there on television. Were they saved for the pressure? No. Were any of those Christians in the New Testament, the ones in Rome, for instance, some of which were thrown into the Colosseum, others were bound and lit on fire as street lamps, were they saved from that? No. There's not one place in the Bible, friends, that says that you and I are saved from the pressure of ungodliness by humankind. The only thing the Bible says is that you and I will not have to go through the horrendous judgment by the wrath of God when it's poured out on the children of disobedience after all of that tribulation time. It's caused by humankind. Do you not understand that if you believe in a pre-trib rapture in that way, you are actually denying and nullifying all the warnings of Jesus, all the warnings of Paul, all the warnings of James, all the warnings of John and Peter. You're nullifying them all. All the warnings about persecution and so on, you are saying, no, that's not going to happen to me. That can't possibly happen to me because I'm an American. You see, we're the exception to every rule. Now, it's happened to people all over the world, and it's happening to people in Pakistan. It's happening to people in Iran. It's happening to people in Egypt. It's happening to people in Nigeria, but not me because I'm an American. You see the foolishness of this? It's nothing but pride. We have been sold a false doctrine. You and I are not going to have to go through the outpouring of the wrath of God that begins in Revelation chapter 6. But up till that time, professing Christians have always and will continue to endure the wrath of man. And that's why Jesus said, "But he that endures to the end shall be saved." He doesn't mean lives to the end. He means stands and is faithful to the end and does not capitulate, does not fall, does not give up. Now, the prime minister there in Israel, on the verge of tears, said Israel National News, delivered an address to the nation following the murder of the 6 Israeli hostages by Hamas terrorists. He gave that address, I think it was yesterday or the day before. Tears. Well, who would not be in tears if you had any kind of a sensibility and value for the life of people you cared for? Yet, the same Israel National News contains this piece by David Friedman, the ambassador from the U.S. to Israel. He says, "You self-righteous and sanctimonious protesters, you do not speak on our behalf. You're trampling on the memory of all those that have fallen as you conspire with your fellow protesters to subvert the government, in other words, subvert the people. You choose to turn the hostages into your own pawns to satisfy your own feelings." That's a powerful statement coming from David Friedman, ambassador. The Jerusalem Post contains another headline. Today, deaths of hostages lies on Hamas and secondarily on their supporters. The reaction of all moral people to Hamas murdering six hostages in cold blood should be utter outrage and disgust at Hamas. So why is it the 300,000 people are demonstrating in Tel Aviv against Benjamin Netanyahu? He didn't kill anybody. He's trying to stand so that Hamas doesn't have power to kill the rest of the people in Israel, like they tried to do on October 7th. He's trying to stand so that Hezbollah, under the leadership of Iran, doesn't do the same thing from the north as they launch hundreds and hundreds of rockets on northern Israel. This man has to stand in the gap for a whole country. And yet you've got all of these pusillanimous folk that have the lordship of their feelings and very temporary views that do not see the bigger picture and refuse to do so. The article goes on to say the responsibility for this loss of life falls squarely on Arab terrorists, secondarily on their international supporters such as Iran and Qatar, and finally on international powers, including the United Nations and European Union, who have insisted on pressuring Israel and not the perpetrators. And I would add to that Joseph Biden and Kamala Harris. They all have and are continuing to put pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu not to protect the greater good of the Israeli people and the nation, but just to free these hostages. Why are they doing that, friends? Political gratiation to their bases, their liberal, pusillanimous, touchy-feely bases. That's why they're doing it. So where do we stand on this? The Jewish News Syndicate staff wrote a piece, came out on Newsmax yesterday. Gaza hostage families to Israeli government. Please listen carefully to this, because it talks about exactly what I was analogizing to the issue of persecution of Christians by a global government. The members of this forum, Jewish Forma, Gaza hostage families now, have united together, converged on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office in Jerusalem yesterday to protest against a general strike called by the Labor Federation there in Israel, the Federation of the Touchy-Feely Liberals, following the Israeli Defense Forces' recovery over the weekend of six hostages' bodies from the Gaza Strip. Here's what they say. We call on the Prime Minister not to give up to Hamas. Instead, to keep up military pressure to achieve total victory. A member of this forum whose son, IDF Captain Ori Shani, was killed in action on October 7th, told the Jewish News Syndicate, "Our heart is with the families of the hostages who were killed by Hamas. But you need to do everything possible to bring the hostages back while at the same time destroying Hamas and ending terror. In other words, they're not saying sacrifice the nation in order to get back whatever remaining hostages may still be living, 50 or 60 hostages. Don't put the whole nation at risk. Destroy Hamas. Israel National News had a special piece that came out from Carolyn Glick, who is probably one of the most famous reporters in the world today. Certainly the most famous Jewish reporter, Carolyn Glick. She's been around for a long time. She said, the defense minister, meaning Gallant, the generals and the left's political leaders, the military prosecutors, and the rioters in the streets are all playing the roles the Hamas chief assigned to them. In other words, they are going along with exactly what Hamas is trying to achieve. Unwittingly. Because they're ruled by their feelings. They're not ruled by reality. They're ruled by their feelings or by political agendas. Power, perks, and position. She said the entire domestic debate is taking place while Hamas isn't even participating in the negotiations. And she's right. Hamas isn't interested in negotiations. Hamas is interested in one thing, and that is the destruction of Israel. And they will continue. They're not interested in some compromise. They're not interested in a ceasefire. That's political rhetoric, friends, by the touchy-feely politicians of the world, including Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They're not interested in a ceasefire. What they're interested in is protecting and preserving the power, perks, and position of Hamas to continue to move in the direction of destroying Israel and the Jewish people totally, because that is exactly what their documents say they are dedicated to do. So, the UN Secretary General, recovery of hostages reminds us of the need for ceasefire. Well, there may be a need for a ceasefire if it really means the protection of Israel for the future. But they don't care about that. The UN Secretary General is a hyper-liberal, along with almost everybody in the United Nations. They don't care about the future of Israel. In fact, ultimately, they are going to come against Israel. The Bible says so. Zechariah tells us that all the nations of the earth are going to come against Israel and Jerusalem. All of them. I believe it's Zechariah chapter 12. Think about that. So what's the psychology of taking hostages? What's this really all about? Let's talk about it when we get back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
So glad you've joined us here on Viewpoint today. I know we're having a very serious conversation. It may be tough to hear, but we need to hear it. Because it doesn't just apply to Israel. It doesn't just apply to the Jewish people. It applies to you and to me. Because what happens to the Jews one day happens to all of us, especially Christians, the next day. Even the foremost Orthodox radio host in Israel on this program about 6 months ago declared just that. With anti-Semitism and the hatred of the Jewish people, one day, the next day, it's the Sunday people, she said. Now, if you do not have yet a copy of my latest book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, you desperately need to get that book. If you're a father, you desperately need to get that book. If you're a mother, you desperately need to get that book. If you're a youth leader, you desperately need to get that book. If you're a pastor or a parachurch leader, you desperately need to get that book. By the way, it was endorsed by, what, a dozen or more leaders across the country because they see the times that we're in. When pastors tell me and have for the past 8-10 years on this program, out loud, right on the program, have told me, when I asked what percentage of their congregations they believed were ready for the second coming of Christ, would you like to know their answer? Between 5 and 15%. Between 5 and 15% of their entire congregations, they said they believed were ready for the second coming of Christ. Do you realize how serious that indictment is? Now, if they're not ready for the second coming of Christ, obvious they're not ready to endure persecution. And that's why it's so important. That's why I believe that God put on my heart a mantle to plea with God's people through this book. It's so easy to read, by the way. So easy to read. So easy to understand. It's more a sense, not a preachment, but of reasoning together. Taking a look at all of it from God's viewpoint. And looking at history, all of it together. It's a composite. And you cannot help but be moved in your heart. That's the purpose. Preparing our hearts for perilous times. And they're here. $25 will put that book in your hands. It's just come out. In fact, the official release date was September 1st. Just came out. Get your copy immediately. Don't waste time. And read one chapter at a time. Don't try to rush through it. And think about it. Ponder it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And He will. He'll direct your path. $25 on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Add $6 for postage and handling. You know, what's interesting is that one of the people, one of the spiritual leaders that endorsed the book wrote me back just the other day, and he said, I'd like to provide this book to all of our primary donors of this ministry. Can we possibly get some sort of a special extension of price for that? I said, absolutely, because we want to get the message out. It's not about making money. It's about getting the message out. I don't make anything out of this. You say, well, what happens to the money? It goes right back in to getting the message out, the more so. I don't receive any money from it. That may come as a surprise. I don't receive any money for providing this broadcast and all the preparation that it takes for over 29 years. It's not about money, friends. It's about the Master. It really is. Don't wait. Don't wait until the pressure is so great that you can't think straight. Don't wait until one of your children or your spouse is set up before a firing squad and they tell you, like happens in so many countries like Nigeria and Pakistan and so on, they say, look, you either repudiate your faith in Christ, or your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband is going down. What are you going to do? Are you going to take the easy way out and turn away? Jesus said, if you will not confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. What will you do when the pressure is on? It's coming, my friends. What will you do when they tell you that in order to be able to buy or sell or get gasoline or go to the grocery store or whatever, you're going to have the mark, that infamous mark, which is being prepared as we speak? What are you going to do? Are you truly prepared to stand in the evil day? Are you prepared to stand like the three Hebrew children when they were faced with the fiery furnace? Are you prepared to stand like Daniel when he was faced with the lion's den? Yes, they got delivered, but not everybody was delivered, friends. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the last 15 verses. I've got tears in my eyes, friends, because I know the gravity of this issue. And my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ are not prepared. And God, in his mercy and by his grace, is giving you an opportunity to be prepared in due season. So how about this devastating psychology of taking hostages? That came out as an opinion piece in the Jerusalem Post today. The reason hostages are taken is for leverage. If there's nothing to gain by keeping hostages and nothing to lose, the hostages will be dispensed with. That's the brutal calculus of terrorism. Do you not understand, my dear friends, that globalism is the ultimate terrorist organization? It is totally anti-God. Therefore, anyone who stands for truth and for godliness, and for Jesus Christ as Savior, who will not capitulate, who will not recant, may very well lose their lives or the lives of their loved ones. Their loved ones are taken for leverage. And if there's nothing to gain to keeping them for leverage and nothing to lose, away with them. Do you know what the New Age folks say about Christians who refuse to capitulate to this New World Order? They use a very strange phrase. They must be selected out. That's their phrase. You'll find that in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Oh, my friends, there's so much that my brothers and sisters in Christ are not aware of. Their pastors are not aware of. In some respects, don't want to be aware of. It's kind of like, hear no evil, see no evil, but it's not going to work for you. If it was, then Jesus and his disciples would not have warned us, would they? Now, what about the Gaza-Philadelphia corridor? Why are they so important? You see, the hostage deal between Israel and Hamas has supposedly been stuck on the status of the Netzarim and Philadelphia corridors. So, what's the history of the Philadelphia corridor? It's an Israeli term, one reportedly chosen by the IDF at random for a strip of land that separates Gaza from Egypt and was specifically defined as such in the 2004 draft plan for the Israeli disengagement from the Gaza Strip. The view of the Philadelphia corridor between the southern Gaza Strip and Egypt begins at the Mediterranean coast and snakes along the border until reaching what is called the Kerem Shalom crossing from Israel into southern Gaza. It's been important to Israeli security since 1979 when it was part of the Israeli-Egypt peace treaty. And it marked where the new border between Israel and Egypt would be after Jerusalem agreed to hand the Sinai back. The treaty agreed that the border would be in accordance with the borders of British Mandate-era Palestine. However, that resulted in dividing up the major Gazan city of Rafah, which straddled the border. When Israel withdrew from Gaza, a new agreement regarding the Philadelphia Corridor was made with Egypt. It was known as the Philadelphia Accord. It stipulated that Egypt and the Palestinian Authority would maintain security along the border and that Cairo would maintain security and intelligence cooperation. The reason for this was to make sure there wouldn't be any weapons smuggling into Gaza after Israel withdrew. However, the move was highly controversial as many feared that this would lead to Gaza becoming militarized and a threat to regional security, as well as due to the fact that the Knesset never actually approved the Philadelphia Accord. So, under the auspices of the Philadelphia Accord, Egypt and the Palestinian Authority opened the Rafah border crossing between Gaza and Sinai. So it's strategically important. The importance of the Philadelphia Corridor has always been its status as a border and buffer, limiting what can go in and out of the Gaza Strip, especially weapons. Now you understand why Hamas doesn't want to give up the Philadelphia Corridor, because they have smuggling tunnels along that corridor. And if Egypt forces can soon begin targeting the tunnels, Egypt further took measures to create buffer zones along the corridor, even though through the demolishing of homes to do so. This Philadelphia corridor, friends, is absolutely essential to the protection of Israel and of some form of stability. Now you can see why Hamas will not give it up. They will kill every lasting hostage in order to protect and preserve that access from Egypt to Israel and through the Philadelphia Corridor to again build up their resistance in Gaza to destroy Israel. That's what it's about. So Benjamin Netanyahu says that's the reason execution of hostages, he said, is the reason to stand firm on Philadelphia. And the justice manager, Yariv Levin, backed Netanyahu at the security cabinet, stating that it was dangerous to offer concessions after six hostages had been killed in real time. Such a step would be to reward terrorism, would send a dangerous message to Hamas that killing our hostages pays off. It will lead to demands for more and more concessions that will endanger Israel's security. And that's where we are. I hope that gives you a better understanding of the dynamics that are taking place. You might want to go back and re-listen to today's program. Have other people listen to it, your friends. And bottom line, friends, if you think Israel is the only one at stake, don't fool yourself. Get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes. $25 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. God bless, be a blessing, and become a partner with us, friends. God bless.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.